Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Perry Groves.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, where we were joined by Luke Kempner in the studio. Yeah, big gooner. We did talk Arsenal and reflected on the weekend. Luke stuck around for that.
Is it 60 impressions in 60 minutes?
60 impressions in 60 minutes.
I think he did 60 in 60 seconds, wasn't he? He was unbelievable.
He did brilliantly for us. So you'll hear some of those. Myself and Perry had a bit of a chat. He was humbled by his grandson at the weekend for reasons he'll explain. Schooled, that was it. And the new Manchester City documentary had that reviewed by a Manchester United fan. What could possibly go wrong? TalkSport's Angelina Kelly joined us. So I think that should keep you busy. Here it all is. Good afternoon, Perry.
Good afternoon, Paul. You're all good?
Not too bad. Yeah, yeah. You said you were in enemy territory working for TalkSport the other day. You were at the Tottenham-Luton game.
Yes.
I'm always hoping to see, because I'm on the same floor where you guys operate from, up on the fifth. I'm always hoping to see you sort of rush into your seat and say, oh, look, everybody, there's Perry Groves, the former Arsenal winger. Well, I never catch you, Perry. You obviously keep a cap on the pair of dark glasses.
False nose and glasses. That's what it is. But that gives it away, doesn't it, if you're in
disguise? Do you get some clog as you're making your way in the commentary position or not?
Like, amazingly, this season, everybody's been quite welcoming.
I
wonder
if
it's because, like, you're playing well at home, apart from obviously the first half, but we'll talk about it. So, yeah, so it's just been, all right, Groves, all right. So,
because that's nice.
When it was under Conte and Jose, wasn't quite as welcoming. There was a few, like, hand signals, you know what I mean?
So, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What, like a wave, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like a wave.
With not as many fingers up as a whole hand that there should be. So,
nice one.
Yeah, and it's a good place to go, actually, because you do see good football. I mean, obviously, I want you to get beat when I'm watching, but
yeah,
I'm impartial, obviously when I'm doing TalkSport.
Yeah.
And then you just have to give credit where credit's due about the way that Ange manages to turn around. Like, there's Bears do something inwards, you know, as a given, and that Spurs go 1-0 down at half-time, and you know they're going to turn it
around. They'll turn it around.
That's what's
in the
happening
second half.
At the minute. Yeah. So it's, and City is fantastic as well. So it's a good place to do co-coms from.
Well, we will look at all the games tonight and how maybe the weekend's matches fed into those. I had this little brainwave. I was watching the game. You were there the other day. I know it's a kind of crackpot idea and it would never happen, but it struck me that the reason that there was 9 minutes of injury time in that Spurs-Luton game the other day was because Luton, quite rightly, and I really do not blame them for this, they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
They're 1-0 up. Yep. Keeper's taking ages to take kicks. Everybody's going down. A lot of it was brought on themselves. Dragosin and Adoghi especially were giving away daft going-nowhere fouls, which allowed players to stay down.
Does that mean when the opposition players facing the touchline
or
facing
his own
byline?
They're making a back for you. They're right on the touch and they're going nowhere. So what do? You barge them or you kick them from behind. They get a free kick. Oh, it's quite a bad knock that. Maybe we'll get the trainer on. Or maybe we won't get the trainer on because then I'll have to go off. But again, I'd like to point out to Luton fans, I'm not blaming them for that. They can do what it's up to the referee to sort that out.
Professional sport.
Yeah, of course it is. That's right. But it did strike me that Tottenham were 2-1 up with like 4 minutes of normal time left. And Jared Gillett, who had then had decided with the fourth official and everybody else, they're going to give 9 minutes of injury time. I'm thinking, what's the advantage from Tottenham's point of view? They've now got rolled out for 9 minutes for a reason that...
I know where you're going with this.
Do you know what I mean? So the idea that a referee... I mean, they'd never do it because the only reason you've got 9 minutes is you probably could argue the referee wasn't doing his job properly in the first place and he should have stamped it out earlier on to keep the game flowing. But there could be a situation where a ref says, no, that lot were time wasting. They're now 2-1 down. I'll make it 4 minutes. See, I'll take 5 minutes off.
Or you go to the manager, then your touchline and go, look, it should be nine.
Yeah.
But to be fair, what do you think? And if he goes, I'll have three.
What would you be happy with based on the fact their S-Houser has caused us all to be hanging around
and
for another 9 minutes?
Postecoglou goes, free, mate. Yeah. Then you go, all right, I'll go in the middle. I'll give you five or six.
In a situation like that, it does actually benefit the team that have been doing it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of not really serious, but you know what I mean.
But I think the jeopardy of all these added on minutes ending, I think is brilliant. You've seen how many goals have been scored in 90 plus whatever. Yeah. And the game, if there was only in the old days, if there was like a minute, 2 minutes of added on time, it wouldn't have been nervous at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, would it? It would have gone, oh no. When you go 9 minutes, it actually went nervy, didn't it? You could you Spurs sat a little bit deeper.
Sure.
Luton got a few
That's
corners.
That's right.
So
and you're thinking,
I think
this isn't fair.
Yeah, but I think for the spectacle, I think it's brilliant.
No, yes.
Because
true.
You get more jeopardy and you get more goals. Go and barter with the manager.
That's right, yeah. So what do we both be happy with, guys? We all know why we're playing 9 minutes. No one wants to play 9 minutes. The other thing was, we saw a couple of the penalties in the Newcastle-West Ham game. And we're going to come on to those two teams who obviously play this evening. But that Gordon won a couple of penalties, didn't he? By getting his foot in front
across,
of the defender, across the defender. So, I mean, he's not attempting to get the ball. On the first one, he's not really attempting. He's looking to make contact with Soufal to get the penalty, isn't he? And you think to yourself, I mean, I don't know. If something feels wrong, initiating contact is now always a penalty.
Yeah, but from Soufal's point of view on that one, he didn't react. He knew it was a penalty. That the one on Calvin Phillips... Yeah. When they just played on, like, again.
But if a player's going out of his way to make contact, I mean, if a player goes out of his way, if a player dangles a leg deliberately, goes often they're not given as penalties. But in that context where it's like a 50-50 or a 60-40, and the player initiates contact, goes to get the penalty as opposed to actually getting the ball. Because if he's going for the ball and the player brings him down, fine, that's a penalty. If he's going for the player to make sure he kicks him,
but it's very cute from Anthony Gordon.
Yeah.
That's what,
well,
again,
that's one way of looking at it.
It is because you're playing, again, it's you win at all costs. And we talked earlier before we come on air, didn't we, about the Arsenal game, everybody saying it was dull and boring, whatever. You're like, you can't have every game that is like basketball.
No.
You can't have everything perfect. It's professional sport. And you do anything that you possibly can to try and win the game. The only thing I would caveat would be diving. Diving, I think, you know, should be banned for 3 games, 5 games, whatever. And that would cut the diving out. So then it's very difficult. It's up to the referee to decide. And on the second one with Calvin Phillips, wasn't it? Where Andy got the referee in normal time, I think it was Roger, he just played on. So that's something that the VAR is getting involved in.
They've gone back to look at it,
No, this is not CSI Stockley Park or it's not Quincy. You're not supposed to be, that's not what you're there for. You're not supposed to be going, oh, look at that. I've just seen there that he's clipped him in the back of his calf. You should be having a look. So the process in that is wrong. And on the first one, I think, I must admit, maybe because I'm before, I think it is a penalty.
Is it clever play? Is it gamesmanship? Or is it cheating?
I think it's clever
it is
play.
Effectively...
Clever play and gamesmanship. Because even Soufal thought, I should have been more aware of where Anthony Gordon was coming from to give him the chance for me to boot the back of his leg.
Well, a lot of what we're going to talk about, what happened at the weekend, is going to feed into what happens this evening. We'll look at the form of the teams going into the games. We're going to look at all 5 matches over the course of the next 2.5 hours. But yeah, the soft play. Let's take you back to the soft play area with your
grandson.
There's
no such thing. They shouldn't be calling it soft play.
Really?
Isn't it? That is,
well, at your
a misnomer.
Age, you feel every lump and bump, don't you?
Well, I feel, I've had my little grandson, Jack, he's 2.5, so saw him yesterday, took him to the Mega Centre just outside Billericay, which you said there is... Like with all the slides and the tubes, and it is basically, it's like gladiators.
Mm.
That's how it felt like to me. So, like, Jack is off.
Like mini gladiators.
Yeah, at 2.5, because he's outgrown the 0-3. That's like, I'm not just jumping in ball pools, you know what I mean? I've gone that. So, Lewis, my boy, goes, Dad, you go with him. So, I go with him. So, I do the lap, go up the stairs, go through the tunnel, go up the rope bridge, the rope ladder, and then go down the slide.
Yeah.
So, then I'm thinking,
no country for old men, Perry, that, is it?
I can't let a 2.5-year-old beat me down the slide. So I say to Jack, you say, ready, steady, go, right? So he goes, ready, steady. So I'm off. I've gone.
What sort of life lesson is that for a 2.5-year-old, whether you're cheating?
Housery. And even in there, it's housery.
Same old Arsenal, always cheating.
So I go off early doors, and then I get stuck halfway down because I've not got the right attire on. I've got my jeans on.
Ah.
And he comes shooting past, Grandad! Right, he's going, Grandad Perry. So he beats me at the bottom. So I'm thinking, right, next time I've got to put tracksuit bottoms on.
That's the way you're forward planning.
You you've got to
the soft
play
area.
Because it's a tough world out there. You can't just give these victories away. But then I do 2 laps and I've gone. My hamstrings have gone. My back's gone. I said, Lou, off you go. So we were playing tag for an hour and a half.
You and your son,
so, yeah. So, like, Lewis is 34 coming up in April. I did well there, didn't I?
Yeah, that's quite good work, yeah.
And even he went, Dad, you can go for the next two. So we had two and an hour and a half of just going round and round. And then you look around, you look at all the other, there's lots of other parents sat there having a cappuccino, because their kids are four. And they're like, away you go.
Yeah.
I know what that's going to cost.
They don't need supervising to the same extent.
I know what that's going to cost me. I'm in bits. I'm gone. I'm like 58 and thinking, time. I didn't warm up. I should have warmed up, maybe.
Yeah. Should have done a few stretches.
Yeah, perhaps they should have a warm room.
Have a little warming area, a warm-up area for the dads.
Exactly, yeah, for your hamstrings, your back, your knees.
Have a personal trainer on
there. But there must be other parents out there who've been, or grandparents, in the same situation. I'm shattered.
Adults in the soft play area, your tails this afternoon.
That's a warning.
We've got a few, as we said, no country for old men or women.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Making a welcome return to the studio is impressionist, actor, comedian Luke Kempner, big Arsenal fan as well. You're wearing the club bomber jacket today.
He's gone John Terry.
I've gone for the Chinese New Year bomber jacket.
Really?
It was limited edition.
Was it in the sale or did you buy that new?
No, I bought it new. There is nothing that marketing team can bring out that I won't buy immediately.
Have you seen that before, Perry? The Chinese New Year Arsenal bomber
special
jacket?
Limited edition Chinese with a bit of fluff as well. That's just limited edition from my house. I love it.
It's nice. Thanks, man. I'll be wearing that for the tours.
The one that was flying, I get 25% discount.
Right.
Sorry, I get 20% discount.
All right,
David Beckham gets 25.
Really?
Well, the Arsenal shop.
How many doubles did he win for Arsenal?
Well, Bex comes in, gets his boys all their Christmas presents. Yeah, he gets 5% more than me.
That Ian Wright stuff you want to get.
That is the stuff. The black with this white and the silver.
Righty's gear, is it?
Oh, you can't get hold of it.
Really?
Not in my size. Medium. They got triple XL. There's loads of them available.
We want to talk Arsenal in a minute and reflect on what went on at the weekend. I know you two are sort of railing against some of the criticism you've taken. But anyway, we want to talk about the show. Gritty police drama, a one-man musical. 60 impressions, 60 minutes, one murder. 60 impressions in 60 minutes.
Yeah, look, I love this show. I'm really, really proud of this. So it's called Gritty Police Drama, the one-man musical. It's think of all your favourite gritty police dramas. So, like Line of Duty, Ted Hastings, like The Battle, I'm Interested in One Thing and One Thing Only, and that's Nick and Talksport radio presenters. You've also got in Catherine Kerr, would you know, Happy Valley, do you want a cuppa? I'll be doing a lot of northern things if that's right with you. And then John Lofar, long sigh, Idris Elba, long sigh. So it's those guys, that's the tip of the iceberg, because then it's loads of other celebrities. James Corden's been murdered, that sometimes get a cheer when I say it in the audience. I don't agree with that, but they have to get in. D.I. Surrey and McKellen, I can create all the reconstructions. I've got 60 Oliviers, and then you've got D.I. Louis Theroux, because being a detective is weird. Is that okay? Is that okay to ask if that's okay? Am I okay? And again, that's the tip of the iceberg, because then they go to Clarkson's farms, talk to Clarkson and Caleb. They go to Jurgen Klopp's drug gang. Yeah, my boys, I've got Jamie Carragher and, Gary Neville. These boys, we know these boys can do great things. And my sharpshooter, my trophy hunter, Harry Kane is there as well.
Yeah, no, I'm still yet to hunt down that trophy, I'll be honest with you, but I'm a sharp shooter. I'll see something and I'll shoot it.
It's a big story. There's 60 impressions. There's musical songs in there.
Wow.
There's everything. I've thrown it all out there and I'm very proud of it. It went great in Edinburgh and I'm excited.
Brilliant.
Do you know when you do your impressions, you have to do them at first? Have you ever done an impression and actually thought, no, that sounds more like somebody
as
else.
You're working on a new
as you're working on a new one,
you discovered one by accident.
Yeah, that's going to fit into that one a bit
there's
better.
Quite a few of them, because I always remember even back in the day sort of doing things like Alex Ferguson and stuff like that, and you're basically sensible to it, and your act goes about sort of Alan Hansen-y, and then I noticed that it's that that Andy Murray kind of thing, it's just always there, and then you realise that tone, you don't need to move from there, and then that's where it stays.
I was telling Perry about your Arsene Wenger. Does he pop up in the show?
Yes, of course. You cannot have a show without Arsene Wenger in it. Look, do I like my impression of Arsene Wenger? Yes. Am I sad that he's not the manager anymore, so I can't get to do it as much? Yes. But look, he's a top manager, top impression, and yes, he will be appearing in the show for a little bit.
I didn't see. I closed my eyes on. I didn't see the impression.
Closed
my eyes. And he was in the room.
Last time we saw you, you were doing a pretty mean Mikel Arteta as well.
He's trying too hard to compete. We try to compete. We try to win it. We go to Manchester City. It's very important to go with a back 13. It's going to be me, the whole team, Gunnasaurus. We're going to be there. We're going to win it. We're going to compete. It's really tough.
Have you done Have you done the Arsenal dinner or the awards do yet, Luke? Have you had, would you know like what? To do that? They should issue a come and get me plea, as we say in football circles.
Do you know what? It's like when a manager's out of job and he comes on Talk Sport hoping he gets a gig.
Well, I am available if they need me for the end of season dinner.
Yeah, I think the thing is, right, I always dreamed of, like, oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
But there's one thing dying in front of 30 people in Camden.
Yeah.
But, like, dying in front of, like,
your heroes.
Martin Odegaard. I don't know if I really want to do that. If I'm honest with you.
And if Arteta's in the room, looking at you going,
if he doesn't like it,
don't say nothing like me.
What's
he on about?
I remember doing the London Football Awards, and me and Bob, you know, I was chatting there with Bob Wilson. He was like, he goes, you've got to do your Arsene Wenger. He's like, a lot of the Invincibles are going to be there. So I'm like, doing my Arsene Wenger. No one's laughing. You know, and Bob said to me, he goes, oh, come to me because I do it a good Arsene Wenger. So I'm there, football. I think you might have been there.
I was, yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll go to Bob. He's asked, and it'd not been going well, I'll be honest. Right? But Bob had asked me to go to him. He's like, legend of not just the game in general, legend of the world, Bob Wilson. I'm like, oh, Bob, you do a bit of an Arsene Wenger. And he looked at me like, oh, right. And then he did his. He got more of a laugh than me, I'll be honest. But anyway, it was brilliant. Oh. I got to meet Heung-min Son.
Oh, yeah.
I met Declan Rice.
Nice. Have you been working on Declan? Any of the Arsenal players been working on?
Not really. So you want them until when they've sort of really become at the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Harry Kane thing.
You know, when he's captain of England, you know, you're hearing a lot more from him, and then you can do much more with a voice. You know, but before then, you need to sort of wait until they're more in the public eye.
Yeah.
What's the hierarchy like in the impressionist world?
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, football, you get a young player coming in, didn't you? And you can spot straight away these young players. And senior players take you under your wing if he's not in your position.
Oh, yeah.
Right, if he's a centre-forward and there's a young centre-forward coming in scoring goals everywhere, you're not going to go, oh, come with me, I'll show you how to score goals. Because he could take your place,
you're right.
The old school, they undermine the young guys.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Right. Say, like, you know, like, our generation is Rory Bremner, isn't it?
So
John Coleshaw.
Yeah.
So they must get wind around the circuit that this young impressionist comes in. And what is there any like feedback from them? Do they get, do you know what I mean?
Do you know
is
what,
it
like, a brotherhood?
I've been really fortunate, you know, to work with the likes of Rory Bremner, Alistair McGowan, and like Rory especially, like he has been nothing but lovely to me ever since I met him. Like, I remember we did this show together, and I was like, I, there was a time I couldn't really do a Boris, you know, and I was sort of struggling with it. I didn't know where to place it, and I spoke to Rory, and he gave me this clue, and he said, he's that ooh sound, he says that ooh, you go ooh like that, that's really Boris, and I added all that sort of stuff, and really he helped me, you know.
That's great.
I mean, and Rory,
is it
honestly,
that then?
So I adore
is it
him.
Just is it a noise? Is it a little facial? Is it one thing that makes it all fall into place?
Well, look, it's always just trying to find. You know, with Wenger, I can freestyle as I could sit here and do an hour's interview as Wenger.
Okay.
Because I know, I've got those questions he asks himself, and look, top, and all that stuff. You know where it is. But with someone like Mikel Arteta, you're still working out those things. You know, I know that he tries to finish with it. You know, I win it, we compete. You know, that sort of thing, and that sort of lost his voice because he's always shouting at the players to get into
and the referee
them. And the referee as well. Yeah. Out of his technical area. So it's finding those, like you say, just little tricks. Mm. So you've got, you know, even with like one of my favourite ones to do has always been Biggins, which I know you've always enjoyed.
I love that.
But again, like, it's such a random impression, but
I know, it's everywhere that I place it. You know, and it's such, you've got his laugh, of course, which is great to do, but it's just where it's placed in the voice. It's funny. You know, I can say Talk Sport, I can say it's Stapler, and it's funny, you know, because it's Biggins.
Is Biggins in the show?
He makes a little appearance, of course.
He has to.
I mean, I'm trying to do 60 in an hour, so some of them are quite tenuous, I'll be honest with you.
Biggins won't be happy with a cameo, would he?
No, he gets a big round of applause, you know, of course.
So, Soho Theatre, that's where you're going to be doing it.
Yeah, 3 weeks today.
Yeah, Tuesday the 23rd and Saturday the 27th of April.
Yeah.
Gritty police drama, one-man musical, 60 impressions, 60 minutes, one murder.
Yeah.
Tickets available at the Soho Theatre. .com. Luke's going to stick around because we want to talk Arsenal. We're going to talk about the title race when we come back and place Sunday's abject anti-football performance into some kind of context.
Who'd have thought?
Not my words, of course. I'm only joking.
Arsenal, Arteta, Housery. Who would have thought? A little bit of... And Arsenal fans are loving it, trust me.
Well, I know. Anyway.
I can't believe I'm here on TalkSport not talking about Arsenal, like, challenging for eighth. This is so lovely to be here. And you're like, we're going to be talking about the title race. I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's great.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Luke Kempner is with us. He's just been telling us about Gritty Police Drama is one man musical at the Soho Theatre in London from the 23rd to the 27th of April. Go to sohotheatre.com. Box office for tickets. You're also in Les Mis at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, Les Miserables, the musical that swept the world. Yeah. Yes, I play Thénardier, and that is the master of the house, Quick to Catch Your Eye. So the one that Matt Lucas played and Sacha Baron Cohen played in the film.
Wow.
So I've been in that for 6 months now, and I'm staying in it until September. And I love it. I mean, my wife doesn't see me.
Yeah.
But she loves that.
She loves it.
But no, it's brilliant. Like, it's kind of dream come true, really.
Yeah. Now, let's go and see Luke in Les Miserables as well. Dom, as an Arsenal fan, he said, good afternoon, Paul and Perry. Perry didn't know Luke was coming. It was a question of both of you. Perry, what do you think about the media ridiculing Arsenal for conceding 7 goals against City last season, then ridiculing Arsenal for not allowing City to score a single goal this season? I mean, look, as a neutral, yeah, it wasn't a great watch, but not for one moment did I feel shortchanged by Arsenal. They've got to do what they've got to do to win. So I don't quite see why people are being so upset.
It's called professional sport, right? And you got to do everything you can to win. And if you're not going to win, you do everything to say that you can't get beat. I was surprised the way that we went about it, because I thought we could have played maybe 10 yards a little bit further up the pitch and maybe been braver in possession. But Arteta looked at what happened last season when he got schooled by Pep Guardiola tactically, you know, when they went into Haaland, didn't they? And De Bruyne just span, and Haaland was playing against Rob Holding, right? So there was a massive difference. So he went on that, he went, and honestly, his team talk would have been, by the way, there's going to be a pylon. If we get beat here and we get beat well, there's going to be a pylon from the media saying that we've bottled it, we haven't improved from last year. And if you look at the way that we went about it, that was, because it's 0-0, it was a tough, streetwise, niggly, horrible performance away from home, where you stop, they're not their free-flying best from last year, let's get that right, but you've stopped a team that had scored in, I think, 46 consecutive Premier League
57,
games.
57, I think.
Premier League. So 2.5 years.
Yeah.
They hadn't not scored.
Yeah.
And as the texter in there said, we've stopped Man City scoring in both games this season, taken 8 points off of Man City and Liverpool. So there is the improvement and the progression from the Arsenal of last season, where we didn't bottle at the end because Saliba got injured, but there was no steel and physicality.
Yeah.
He went out on Sunday and said, we're not going to be out-muscled or out-physical. And that's why Gabriel and Saliba, Declan Rice, very, very physical. Now, afterwards, you draw 0-0 and you think, right, we've still got the momentum because it was going to be a Premier League eliminator, not decider. Mm-hmm. Because if one of the teams got beat, you ain't going to chase two of the other teams down. It ain't going to work that way. Now, at the end of the season, if we win the title on goal difference or we win it by a point or whatever, you look back at that and you say, that's a massive point.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it.
If you lose it, of course, by a couple of
then
points.
Then you get criticised. Exactly. Sure. But that is what professional sport is about.
How did you expect them to approach it, Luke? Were you, when the game started, you thought, oh, okay, I get it. I see what we're trying to do. Were you expecting them to go toe-to-toe or not when it kicked off?
I expected Arteta to adapt to whatever Pep came up with.
Yeah.
You know, Pep's the best manager in the world by a long way, right? And everything that he came up with, Arteta had a plan to battle it. You know, even when, as soon as they brought Doku on, Tomiyasu was in within 3 minutes, Tomiyasu was on instead of Kivior. Like, he had a plan for all of it, and he knew that Guardiola is not a great crosser of the ball, so he just said, look, if we're going to leave one man free, it's going to be Guardiola, because every cross he's putting in, Gabriel and Saliba are on Haaland. And he said in his press conference obviously, he said you want to leave Haaland one-on-one, that's up to you, that's your choice.
Yeah,
he's like, but we didn't want to do that. And I think we actually almost nicked it. You know, we probably had the better chances other than the Ake chance.
Yeah, the Trossard chance at the end.
The Trossard chance. But you get, that's half a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and in those games where we beat Sheffield United 6 and we've, you know, done West Ham 5, you know, like, there'll be half chances in those games that you don't score, so you don't win 11-0.
Yeah.
But in this 0-0, we had some half chances. They didn't go our way. But not one bit of me came out of that with regret. I was like, more than happy with that. And if we do lose the league, it's not because of the way we played against Liverpool and City. It's because we got beat up by Fulham
and West Ham,
yeah, and we probably should have done Newcastle as well, you know, and that's the reason.
The thing that I liked about it is that we have no lazy players anymore.
Yeah.
So he's asked Odegaard to do something that Odegaard that's not him. He wants to be the playmaker, get on the ball. And to be fair, his passing weren't great. There was a couple of times where we broke, and if his passing was better, we'd have had chances in the mm-hmm. final third.
Yeah.
But then he gets back and we went the old-fashioned 4-4-2 where Odegaard comes alongside Havertz, and you could tell they've worked it in the distances in training. Like, we don't drop, we go 18-yard box, then there's 10 yards between mm-hmm. you and the midfield mm-hmm. four, then another 10 yards between you and Havertz and Odegaard. Because Saka doesn't want to keep tracking back mm-hmm. and sitting in the hole. That's not what he wants, to be the one who's taken Gvardiol on. But all those players knew that they had to do. I said before the game that if you wanted to win the game, we had to be an eight. Everybody had to be an eight. Mm. And I meant in, obviously, on the ball and progressing up the field and all playing yeah. to your maximum. But all the players there were a nine in their application and mm. their work ethic. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Arsenal fans would have come away from the Etihad, they'd have been like a wry smile. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have been punching the air and, oh, we're yeah. going to win the league title. It would have been, do you know what? That was all right. We're still in this. I've seen a side of my side that I hadn't seen before.
Mm. And I think it's mad for any fans at this stage to be going, right, we're top, that's it.
Yeah,
you know, there's
absolutely.
Nine games to go. I don't think there's any chance that all these three teams, any of the three teams, are going to win all nine games.
No.
Or maybe seven.
Yeah.
So there's going to be changes all the way through. All three teams are still in Europe. Like, nothing is done this weekend, but it keeps it exciting. And I just can't, we're in it. We're absolutely in it.
Yeah. Spurs could be the kingmakers. They've got to play all three of those teams. Arsenal come to our place and we go to Liverpool.
You're 1-0 down already against us then.
Yeah,
you're always 1-0 down. You might as well go,
we're 1-0
down. We haven't started the game.
Give
you
a goal start. It's
exactly.
a goal start.
Yeah,
we play.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also City are coming when that game's been rearranged. So that's going to be interesting. He did play a blinder. He pulls out Gabriel from Brazil and he pulls out Saka. Well, they pull out with injury. Well, they're both fit to play in the game. Again, don't knock them for that. That's the way it works. It wasn't a massive surprise when they both started.
Yeah, but I was more upset that he didn't pull out Declan Rice after the first game against Brazil, because I'd have been saying to Declan Rice, by the way, play against Brazil
yeah.
and then say you've got a bit of a calf or whatever
yeah.
and you're not really sure. Because when I know he was captain against Belgium, which is great for Declan Rice, 50th cap. I'm just looking at that going, get him off the pitch.
Yeah.
I don't want him playing.
The other thing I love was Akanji. Hello? He said, oh, the tactical fouling by Arsenal was an absolute disgrace. Why wasn't it? Hello?
The pot's calling the kettle black.
Honestly, any City player, I'm seeing some of the fans were railing against Anthony Taylor. And look, he could have pulled up players much sooner. Man, they get away with murder, City, doing that. To ever go at Arsenal for that was ridiculous.
It's the dark arts, you know, and I like that we're doing it. The amount of times we went up with Wenger's teams and got done 4 or 5, and yeah, it might have been a bit more exciting for 10 minutes of the game when we were having a go, but every time we were embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, we went up there like a proper team challenging the best team in the world. And I'm super proud of that.
Have you looked down the list, boys, at the potential banana skin? And forget, like, the derby. Forget the Tottenham game at one point. But is there anywhere? I mean, you know, you've got Luton at home tomorrow night. You saw Luton the other day.
That's coming at exactly right time because you saw them at your stadium on Saturday. They are running on empty. Their legs are gone in the last 5 minutes. They've got loads of injuries. Now, it sounds a bit complacent, but sometimes
you made
teams
a comparison with Derek Chisora.
Yeah, well, Luton are Derek Chisora, because what they are is, you know, you're going to get a good fight and you know they're going to give everything they have, but they haven't quite just got that finishing and clinical side, because they could have equalised in the last 2 or 3 minutes of extra time. So sometimes a game, and Arteta will rest a couple, in inverted commas.
Do you think he'll make some changes?
Yeah, because of, and I don't want him to come out and say
Perry's playing.
Yes.
By the way, Luke said about there's no XXLs. I ain't got XXXL Giacomo shorts for me to get on to. But I don't Arteta come out and stay about too many games in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've had the winter break off. We had another 14 days off before the international break. Players want to play. If you're winning,
you get a rhythm, don't you?
There's not one player that will come off that pitch against Man City on Sunday and feel tired.
Yeah.
You'll feel tired initially because of the effort you put in, then when they've had their ice bath and the massages, you're ready to go. But I think if Saka won't play tomorrow night.
No, that would be daft, wouldn't it?
So I think he'll rest a few, in inverted commas, but
shouldn't he give him Ramsdale more games? Simply because wouldn't he not be a bag of nerves then if he played a bit more football
when he
does come in?
Absolutely not, because David Raya, the noise is, again, what's happened, the noise has died down under David Raya because he's looked more assured.
You might need Ramsdale. God forbid, he gets injured.
Yeah, but then what about if you put Ramsdale in and he makes a massive rick and he you draw or you cut. So that's putting him under too much. He put David Raya under too much pressure by dropping him early without Ramsdale making a mistake. And if you do it the other way around, everything's going. There's understanding now between Raya and Gabriel and Saliba. That wasn't at the beginning of the season.
But what I will say is, though, what I do think that point does make sense is with the other players. Like when Partey came on, it took him 10 minutes to get into the game. But I think in his 20 minutes, he made more passes than Jorginho did in the first 70. So it's like, I'd like to see Thomas Partey get a few more minutes now.
He'll play.
So then when he's ready, the likes of, you know, Vieira getting some minutes, Tomiyasu maybe instead of Kivior. So then those players are ready. I think with goalkeepers, you've just got to presume that Raya's going to be fit for the rest of the season. But you can't imagine that all the rest of those that starting 11 can't play every three days to the end of the season.
And you don't want to make too many changes, because you do Rob Edwards' team talk for him. Whatever the shortcomings of Luton, and if they are getting a bit leggy, they haven't quite got the quality to put Arsenal to bed. If you know, you go out and make six or seven changes, he said, well, that's what they think of you, lads.
Do you know what that
they might
to?
Find another gear.
It's a brilliant point. That happened to Unai Emery. I can remember all the way back, obviously, we were third in the Premier League and we had the semi-final with the Europa League and we played Crystal Palace on the Saturday and he made five changes and brought in Mustafi, he brought in Rob Holding, he brought in Elneny, he brought in Carl Jenkinson, and Roy Hodgson was, I think, Chris Patton, and he'd gone to his team. Have you seen what they're playing here? They're taking the mickey out of you. And we lost. We got beat. And that was that was a downfall then from United. That was the gradual slipping away.
That's the team sheet I used to read every week. Oh, God.
Depress you again.
I thought I was going back in time. I was like, no, please, Perry. That's not who he's playing, is it?
Do you need some counselling?
Luke, it's lovely to see you.
So nice
Thanks
to see you.
Thanks for sticking around and talking a bit of Arsenal. I'm sure it wasn't a great hardship for you at the moment.
I loved it.
Has been.
I was just nervous.
Go and see Luke in his one-man musical, Gritty Police Drama, at the Soho Theatre in London, Tuesday the 23rd, Saturday the 27th of April. Soho Theatre, box office, sohotheatre.com for your tickets. We'll see you soon. Hope
see
it goes
soon,
well.
Mate.
Take
Luke.
Care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Perry was telling us he was given the runaround by his 2.5-year-old grandson in the soft play area the other day and was saying it's no country for old men or old women, the soft play area. And Krista Hammer agrees. So I took my 7-year-old daughter to Ninja Warrior at Chelmsford. You been there yet?
I'd
keep away by the sound of it, Perry. Could not let her beat me. Always told her you've got to be in it to win it. And on the last part of the course, she was leading. So I jumped on the slides to win, landed on my foot badly and was rolling around in pain. She goes past me and wins and says, got to be in it to win it, Dad. I spent the next 3 weeks in a protective boot with damaged tendons.
So
you've
got
to watch yourself.
That's
in the
proper
soft
competitive, Dad.
Yeah, that, proper. That is. Yeah.
Got to earn it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Because I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light. Cause I'm ready to go.
Paul Hawksby and Perry Groves here on Talk Sport, and you may recognise that Pitbull's Green Light, and it is the walk-on music. It's probably where most people from the world of sport know it, for Luke Littler. And he was describing why. He was telling the press why in the last couple of days. He went off to watch WrestleMania with his dad in Florida. And he's decided that if he ever got the chance, this would be the song that he'd love to walk out to. This was the one after going over there, one or the other. It was played there, he said, in Orlando. And it was such a good song. I was singing my head off, he said. And, so that's his walk-on music. It'd be great if you got your own walk-on music, Perry. It'd be nice every time you came into this studio on a Sunday.
If it was Darts, yeah, which it obviously is, I was self-titled Ginger Ninja. So I had Kung Fu Fighting, Carl Douglas?
Carl Douglas,
because me and my mates, we used to have a Saturday where we used to play darts or like during the afternoon and have a proper darts tournament, and the wives come around. So we had all out. We used to go upstairs in my mate's house and walk down the stairs and come through his front room door as if we were doing that.
Proper walk-on.
Yeah, so we had
shaking
that.
Your mates, sort of putting the arms out.
There was about eight people there. but that was my... I must admit, if it was in a massive arena, I think I'd have Reward by Teardrop Explodes.
Oh, wow, that's an interesting
going,
one. Dun, dun, great dun, song. Dun,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that'd get people going, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or The Voice, John Farnham. Yeah, I think that might have that. But
both,
I think
both great inspiring songs there. But what's your darts like? Any good?
26.
Okay.
That's split 11s. Yeah. Top double one. What's your favourite double?
I'd like to think there's somebody who's in a pub team who has his own or her own walk-on music. That would be great, wouldn't it? They just sort of rock up. Somebody sticks it over the pair.
Just when they're playing in the pub league, just having a laugh.
Start off in the street and then just walk into the pub.
I think Alex Crook, did he play darts or Paul? He plays like on a Thursday night with his mates or something. I'm not sure which one it is.
I don't know what his walk-on music would be. Well, if you've got your own walk-on music in life, I don't know. Do let us know. Talksport.com, text 8 to 89. Tweet to TSHNJ. You think he's getting under the other player's skin, don't you, Perry? Secretly, on the face of it, they're nice.
They're all saying the right stuff.
It's good for the game, but...
It is, 100%.
He's doing brilliantly, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's just... And quite rightly, like, Phil Taylor obviously took darts onto another level, didn't he? He's practising, learnt from Eric Bristow, and then he was practising 6-7 hours a day, and all these pros, quite rightly, you know, they practice. And for him, the quote was, I haven't practiced for a couple of days. I was just playing on my PlayStation. Because he's got his holder, isn't he?
That's right.
When he's doing all British stuff.
He's got his little portable PlayStation, Xbox that he plays, that's right.
And he's like, I haven't picked darts up for a couple of days. And then he gets a 9-darter. And then, I think they're saying the right stuff. But I think
that's
really
true of any sport. I mean, there are some people in sport that have to work incredibly hard to get where, and there's others that are just sort of blessed with a gift, and they don't put the hard yards in quite as much, but they're just more gifted.
Naturally gifted.
That's true of people in football as well.
Yeah, well, one brilliant example of that is probably like the snooker, again, from my era, Alex Harapan-Higgins and Jimmy White, and then it's someone like Peter Ebdon would have to train and you know, practice his snooker. Luke Littler is, and it would, if you're like... Especially if you're about 27, 28 and you're trying to find your way, and he just says, I just picked him up and I'm all right now. And then one time, I'll guarantee you, will go, anybody got any arrows? I forgot mine.
Yeah.
And he'll probably win one of the tournaments with someone else's darts.
That's it. I'll just play with yours. Don't worry about it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there's a new 6-part Netflix documentary. From today, you can watch Together, Treble Winners, telling the story of Manchester City's treble. Before we chat to Angelina Kelly, one of the TalkSport team who's watched the first part, let's give you a flavour of it from the trailer.
They're in a proper title race here.
If we focus on ourselves, we can beat them all. And we want to do it again. And that's when we get big.
I think we can go all the way.
I want my warriors.
If you come for the king, you best not miss.
The biggest prize in club football is still the Champions League.
That was a little bit special.
He's got to turn Man City into a team that conquers Europe. That has to happen.
We're all going to Istanbul!
One more next week.
You know, tomorrow we play for the immortality.
Will it be a treble or a seismic shock?
It's once in a lifetime, guys. This situation, we are not going to leave it again.
There we are, a little cameo for our own Andy Goldstein by the sound of it.
He'll be absolutely delighted that he's on the Man City documentary.
He will be delighted. So as we said, it's 6 parts, so we asked Angelina Kelly one of our TalkSport team to check out the first part. Angeline, we should mention from the top, really, that you are a Manchester United fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I was really excited to have this assignment today.
Is that what's called taking one for the team?
That's
is
it.
100%. I will do my best to not be biased, but yeah. I can't help it if it creeps in sometimes. Okay. I apologise.
So purely as it, I mean, look, we all love a football documentary, and if we can get over the hump of it being, you know, our City rivals, what did you think of it?
It was very intense at the beginning. Hmm. Pep Guardiola is a very, very intense person. That was the number one takeaway. I think that if you enjoy seeing what City did, if you want to rewatch it, then great. In the first episode, like I say, only the first episode that I've watched, about a third of it was probably footage of games. So, I mean, that was good. We got to rewatch some goals and stuff. I think if you want to really get behind the scenes, day-to-day workings of Pep Guardiola and his team, the training, I don't think you're 100% going to get that. You do see the training, but it's more about we're one big happy family kind of
right. So it's not kind of as behind the scenes maybe as some of the other ones we've seen, the Amazon Prime Videos series.
No, I wouldn't say so. It's more about, you know, how the players interact, laughing and joking. I mean, I think you've already mentioned we've got upcoming in another episode, you know, Haaland and his bonsai tree.
Yeah.
Why Bernardo Silva named his dog after John Stones. You've got more, you know, those funny things. It was quite a strange juxtaposition at the beginning because you've got very, very intense moment. And then they had a comedian come and stand by the training ground on the first day returning after the summer holidays. And he tells Jack Grealish that he's got a perfectly symmetrical face.
Oh, yeah. That's Troy Hawk, isn't
it?
Yes.
Welcome everybody in.
From the Greeters Guild.
But you've got this really intense moment at the beginning and you think, right, buckle up, like this is going to be some really serious stuff. And then you've got him talking about Jack Grealish's face, and Jack Grealish didn't understand who he was. At
they
first he thought he was a shape. He didn't realise it was a person.
Thought he was a shape.
But I think think that is quite funny because the players didn't know that he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So you see the look on their face and you say, they sort of laugh, some of them, don't they? And they think,
what's going on?
Who is this fellow? Is he having a laugh? Is he taking a mickey out of me? They didn't get it, did they?
Yeah, because Grealish is like, did that guy speak to anybody else? But another point that I really liked, and this is when Angelina being a bit biased will come in, because we had a third of it where it was footage, got to spy a few of those empty seats, I'll be honest.
Oh,
there was one empty stand at one point.
That took 2.5 minutes.
Were you sitting there counting them? Did you pause it?
I paused it, it looked like an entire bit of a stand at one point with the steward just sat in the middle. So
what you're saying is it comes across documentary that Man City aren't a big club. Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
yeah, basically. I mean,
you're just teeing her up, aren't you? You shouldn't be doing that.
I mean, the fact that a lot of City fans I know, didn't realise that this was even coming out because it's out today, hasn't it? So a lot of people were a bit confused by that. But I think, main takeaway, Pep. I mean, they talk about the Dortmund game when they won 2-1. You had a great goal from Jude Bellingham. That goal from Erling Haaland that was Johan Cruyff-esque.
Yeah.
You've got the John Stones goal and Guardiola is raging. It's unacceptable. You should have pushed yourselves harder. Absolutely, he's not happy at all.
Wow.
And then at the end goes, but I'm happy for you guys. Congratulations, and walks out. you're not really too sure what you're going to get at times. I think it was quite funny that the chairman said, this is a very humble, happy group of people.
Mm.
Humble, I don't know if the players are humble when Guardiola is screaming at them, you guys are perfect, I love you all, this is amazing, Gundogan, you're the reason why we won the Premier League because you're always there. Like, he really inflates their egos. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do because... exactly. But humble, I don't really know if I'm getting humble from it in that Guardiola is saying, you guys are perfect, I want you to be perfect. And like I say, that's not necessarily a bad thing. They've won the treble, you know, with that kind of management. But I don't know if humble comes.
But also, it's a good time to do it. It's not The Sun Until I Die, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's a good time to do a documentary.
Well, it's been made by their in-house media team, apparently. I didn't realise.
Yeah,
so it's not going to be warts and all, is it?
No.
It's bound
no.
to be.
It's
going to
be Man City propaganda, but they didn't need to do propaganda because
no.
they won the treble
exactly.
and they've been one of the best Premier League
no
teams
alert
of all time.
Needed,
exactly.
Unless you don't know anything about football. Are you going to watch the other five, Angelina, now? Are you going to put yourself
Can't
through
Can't wait.
Yes, as soon as I get home now. I mean, it's one last thing that was my personal highlight was the initiation songs.
Yes.
So Calvin Phillips had Budapest by George Ezra.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Julian Alvarez, Despacito.
I thought Calvin Phillips might have been showing me a way to go home.
Oh.
it's a tap-in, Perry.
Sorry
it?
About that.
It's a tap-in.
And Erling Haaland had Hero by Enrique Iglesias. And although he wasn't the best singer, he said, my performance was the best and that is what matters. So even off the pitch,
presence.
Performance,
yeah.
presence
yeah, yeah.
is very key.
Roy King thought it was a bit League Two in terms of a song.
His delivery, exactly.
They didn't have initiation songs when you
no,
played, did they?
No, well, they did. It was a Tuesday club. We just went out and got completely off your head. That was do you drink? Yeah, see you Tuesday.
But you wouldn't have to stand up in front
no.
of all the other players
no.
and sing
no,
a song.
No, that got in the way of drinking. No,
okay.
so, yeah, that weren't going to
times have changed.
But the thing that I thought is really interesting is the bonsai tree that Erling Haaland takes in. And
I can
it's
see
about
the psychology of it though. He takes a bonsai tree and he wants all the players. It's a kind of collective effort. Everybody has to water it. Everybody has to.
And it's about calming.
Did they call
it's
it
about,
Bernardo? Yeah.
It's about
the bonsai tree.
It's about,
I don't think they would have done.
It's about Zen, isn't it? It's about calming down and you look after it. The way that the game has changed, the only thing that when I was playing that people brought in, players brought in, would be knocked off Levi jeans or Moody Lacoste T-shirts.
I can also imagine how Tony Adams would have watered, or Ray Parlour would have watered the bonsai tree at some
point. Yeah, it doesn't
point.
Need a lot of imagination, I don't think,
no.
does it really?
Exactly.
Wouldn't a lot of watering cans wouldn't have been used,
no,
I don't think.
No, I wouldn't think so. Well, look, thank you for doing that, Angela.
You're very welcome.
I know how tough it was. We landed that on you earlier.
You've got to go in a like dark room now and just lie down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I've got to go and watch like some 99 highlights of United, because it's not even like I can watch anything current to make myself feel better. So,
that
maybe
true.
Not.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Angelina
Brilliant.
Kelly there watching the first part. It's all available on Netflix now. And it's Together Treble Winners, the new six-part documentary on Manchester City and their treble-winning season.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That's how it all unfolded this afternoon with myself and Perry. Andy will be back tomorrow. Although, Perry, you're with me next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, exactly.
And you'll be back on Sunday with Sam? Sam's
back from, obviously, the Dance on Ice duties.
Oh,
so
yes.
He's back Sunday session. And I'm up at Villa Park on Saturday doing the co-coms.
Fantastic.
To see Aston Villa just play a flat back eight right along the halfway line.
Well, good to see you as always.
Cheers,
see
Paul.
You next Tuesday.
Pleasure.
And I didn't mean that, but you know
That's
what I mean.
That's a tap-in.
That is the problem, isn't it, with that particular phrase. But I will actually see you
next Tuesday.
Andy Jacobs here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.